You know, here in Nashville, it really started getting cold again this week. You know, we got snow about 3 to 4 weeks ago, and then it got warm, you know, low 70s, high 60s, and now it's right back to cold. And earlier this week, around Monday or Tuesday or so, I got this weird feeling with my voice, and some questioned if I was going to be able to get you all a show for the weekend, to which I responded, what else would I do? Of course I'm going to give them a show this weekend. Welcome into the Air Raid with Parker Kelly on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Again, it's mid-February. We're actually recording this episode on Valentine's Day. So, happy Valentine's Day to all who celebrate. And if you don't have a significant other to celebrate with, that's okay. We don't judge on this show. I still hope that you had a great Valentine's Day. And just know that everyone's timing is a little bit different. That is okay. But we really appreciate you listening to the show. And as we continue to get this thing up and off the ground, guys, football really never stops. Another jam-packed show awaits. We may go 2 hours tonight. I don't think that's going to happen, and certainly I don't want to keep you 2 hours, but we could if we wanted to. I'm going to keep it as brief as I can, but while hitting all the major details. So, Ohio State finally found it. I probably shouldn't say finally. Sometimes these coaching searches, you want to be thorough. Sometimes it takes a couple weeks. But Ohio State has landed on a new defensive coordinator. We're definitely going to talk about that. We're actually going to lead the show with that. Notre Dame hires a new general manager. Yep, you heard me right. General manager. Something that has become popularized now in college football. Colorado has assembled a Avengers-level coaching staff. We're going to talk about that as well as season expectations for the Buffaloes. I cannot believe that I didn't address this in the last show. I'm going to get to that at the end, whatever that is. Stay tuned. So again, so much to get to, but real quick, before we get the show started, if you haven't already, please, please, please follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I can be found at Parker_Kelly10. Some of you have followed me on Instagram and Twitter, or X, whatever you call it. I really appreciate it. But again, to stay in the loop on everything happening with the show, please, please, please follow me on the socials. Really appreciate it. And also, please subscribe to The Game Nashville, because that's where you get all the Air Raid episodes, and you don't want to miss out. I want to address something real quick from the last episode I did regarding Texas Tech. You know, I talked about how well they have done recruiting in the transfer portal, and they have. And now Texas Tech is starting to get a little bit of buzz here in the quote-unquote offseason. I had a friend hit me up about midweek or so, told me he wasn't buying the Texas Tech hype and he doesn't believe they're a national title contender. To which I responded, I never implied that they were a national title contender. What I implied was they are a playoff contender. There's a difference. I don't think Texas Tech is going to be a national title contender. But I don't think it's out of the question that they could be a playoff contender. You know, the funny thing about the Big 12 is it has the most parity out of any conference in college football. Did we sit here this time last year and say Arizona State was going to be the Big 12 team represented in the 12-team college football playoff? No, we didn't. Because they were picked to finish 17th in the Big 12 preseason poll. And funny thing is, they were a play away from heading to the semifinals versus Ohio State. I remember many, many people who were trying to get a feel for the Big 12 and, you know, making their predictions for who's going to represent the who's going to win the Big 12 and represent the Big 12 in the college football playoff. Kansas State was a popular answer. They finished about middle of the pack with a 5-4 conference record and 9-4 overall. Utah, another popular pick. They finished with 5. Not 5th place, but 5 wins total on the season. Arizona, another popular pick that was hot 2 seasons ago. They finished with a 4-8 record, didn't even make a bowl this year. And that kind of ties into what I was saying last show, how I'm not really a believer in the momentum from year to year. I believe each season is its own story. I'm just trying to say that nobody knows what's going to happen in the Big 12. It is so unpredictable every year. Why can't Texas Tech win the Big 12? They're certainly putting together on paper a pretty good roster. And after all, I did mention that they were my dark horse team. I don't think that is some crazy take. I just wanted to address that before we get into the nuts and bolts of what this show is really about. But moving right along, Ohio State has found a new defensive coordinator in Matt Patricia. Now, a lot of you may be sitting there thinking, I thought Matt Patricia was in the NFL. He was, but now he's the defensive coordinator at Ohio State. When I saw this news, I expected Ohio State to swing big. And they did. This is a pretty big name, whether you think he's a good defensive coordinator or not. You know, this is a big name. So Ohio State did swing big. I was shocked. I was shocked by the move. Because when I'm thinking of potential defensive coordinator candidates for Ohio State, Matt Patricia really never crossed my mind. So I can look at this and say, ooh, it doesn't seem like a good fit for Ohio State. You know, Matt Patricia is coached in the NFL for a while. He has gotten a bad rap for his stints in the NFL, most notably with his time in Detroit as their head coach. He has gotten some bad raps. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second, regardless of what I think of the move, because honestly, what I think of the move doesn't really matter all that much. Isn't it kind of fair to say, though, that Ryan Day, being one of the 3 active head coaches in the sport to win a national title, and the guy that is ultimately responsible for assembling a supernova Death Star of a team last season, don't you think it's pretty fair to say that he has earned the benefit of the doubt? I have no idea if Matt Patricia is going to work out or not. I could tell you he sucks or he's going to suck. I could tell you that he's going to be great. But the reality is, nobody knows if he is going to be good or bad with Ohio State. But what I can sit here and say is Ryan Day deserves the benefit of the doubt. This is the hire he's made. You know, it's losing Jim Knowles to Penn State, an interconference rival, is a gut punch. And by the way, if I'm ever elected college football commissioner, which I've hinted at that several shows, so if you're listening, just pick up on that. But anyways, if I'm elected college football commissioner, I will ban players and coaches from either transferring or getting hired by a rival school, because it frankly makes me sick to my stomach. That is, of course, in regard to Jim Knowles going to Penn State and leaving Ohio State going to Penn State. But anyways, back to Matt Patricia. The truth is, none of us know how it's going to pan out. But Ryan Day deserves the benefit of the doubt when it comes to decision-making. I think it's also important to note that Ohio State promoted their safeties coach. And I do not know how to pronounce his last name, but I'm going to try. And if he happens to be listening to the show, I apologize in advance. Matt Guerrieri. He was promoted to pass game coordinator. He's promoted from safeties coach. And Ohio State's secondary coach, Tim Walton, was promoted to co-defensive coordinator. I think both of those hires were well-deserved because the Buckeyes finished with the number 3 pass defense last season and the number 1 pass defense in 2023. But if I were to sit here in February and say, what are the expectations for Ohio State in 2025? What would you tell me? According to Vegas, their over-under win total is set at 10.5. I have seen a lot of people have projected them to win next year's national championship. I think, you know, with those way too early rankings, which, by the way, I will release mine at some point. I just am not sure when. But on those way too early rankings, it's pretty fair to say that whoever wins the national championship that year is going to be the favorite again next year. But they're projected to win 10.5 games next year. I've compared Ohio State to Michigan. I know that's kind of, that's like almost cursing, you know? Ohio State fans don't want to hear that, but what I'm trying to say is the similarities between the two are there. Michigan made 3 straight college football playoffs from 2023 to 2021. From 2021 to 2023. And those first 2 years of getting knocked out in the semifinals, by this point it was the 4-team era. But after 2 straight years of getting knocked out in the semifinals, they had a ton of draft-eligible players, highly touted players, mind you, return for a third crack at it, a third crack at winning the national championship. And that's what they did. Michigan won the national championship in 2023. Ohio State had a lot of players that 2 seasons ago, or at the end 2 seasons ago, definitely could have went first round in the NFL draft. But they came back with 1 goal in mind, and that was winning the national championship. Now, a lot of those players are gone. On defense, Ohio State has lost 8 of their 11 starters. They do return Caleb Downs, who is arguably the best safety in the country. They return junior linebacker Sonny Styles. They return senior corner Davison Igbinosin. That's 3 key pieces right there in the back half of the defense. But they lost their entire starting defensive line. So Matt Patricia has to find ways to develop some of the younger guys and get them ready to play. On offense, just about the same. They lose a ton of production on the offensive side of the ball, but they do return Jeremiah Smith, who wouldn't want to coach Jeremiah Smith? Could be one of the best players in the country next season. They also return Carnell Tate. So the wide receiver room is pretty solid. The quarterback position is going to be the question mark. Right now, in February, I'm saying the favorite in the clubhouse is probably Julian Sayin, who transferred from Alabama, if you remember, a season ago. I believe he was the Elite 11 MVP 2 seasons ago. I'm going to have to double-check that. But talent with this kid, through the roof. But will there be growing pains? I'm sure there will be. So, Ohio State, what do we expect from them in 2025? They're going to have a largely pretty young team, but they do have talent on both sides of the ball. What happened with Michigan was after they won the national championship, they went 8-5 the next season, and there was a significant drop-off. But you could argue that not only did they lose basically all of their production offense and defense besides a couple of key players, but they also lost their head coach. They lost their strength coach. They lost their defensive coordinator. They lost a lot of key assets to what made that team go. Ohio State still has Ryan Day, who last time I checked was the winningest coach, active coach in the sport. So the jury's still out, and we will just have to wait and see. Notre Dame made a pretty interesting hire over the past couple of days. Did you know that they hired the Lions director of scouting in Mike Martin to be the new Irish general manager? That's right. We are hiring general managers in college football. And we've actually had general managers in the sport for the last few years or so. I think this is significant news. And why this is significant, because Notre Dame lost Chad Bowden, who was their previous general manager. They lost him to USC. Great hire by USC, by the way. But I think this is a slam dunk hire on paper, because if you remember, and I'm sure you do because this was fairly recent, the Detroit Lions were one more bad season away from being left for dead. And Mike Martin was a key piece in turning that franchise around, because they drafted, they developed, and they have absolute stars on their team. Mike Martin was very instrumental with that. And now he is hired as the new general manager of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I think, you know, when I read this headline today, like, yeah, that's very big news. But there's an underlying message here. Marcus Freeman brought in Mike Martin because he wants to bring an NFL model to South Bend. That seems like it is also becoming a trend. You know, Bill Belichick getting hired at North Carolina wants to bring an NFL model to UNC. Many say that college football is becoming more like the NFL, and while there are parts of it that are becoming like the NFL, I would argue that college football is still its own entity. But I think this is significant because Marcus Freeman, as we learned, you know, this season, tier one coach in the sport. And he's wanting to bring an NFL model to South Bend. So I'm really interested to see how Notre Dame continues to progress under his leadership. And I think, you know, again, on paper, slam dunk hire. We're going to talk a lot about coaching staffs today, because I got asked this question recently. Someone asked me the other day, they texted me and were like, hey, you know, what do you think of Colorado's coaching staff? And I was looking the other day, did you realize that Colorado has three Hall of Famers, three NFL Hall of Famers on their coaching staff? Deion Sanders, Warren Sapp, and just recently they hired Marshall Faulk to be their running backs coach. Quite the impressive staff Coach Prime has built in Boulder, Colorado, I must say. And not to mention, their offensive coordinator is Pat Shurmur, who has, you know, had a stint in the NFL, and he is still widely respected by NFL interleague circles. Shedeur Sanders, you know, we talk about Shedeur a lot here at 102.5 The Game because we cover the Titans. We talk a lot about the Titans, and there is real talk that the Tennessee Titans are going to draft Shedeur Sanders with the number one overall draft pick. Who knows if that'll actually happen, But that's kind of the talk around town right now. If you've listened to interviews that Shedeur Sanders has done, he's given a lot of credit to Pat Shurmur for getting him to where he is now. And that is a potential number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Pat Shurmur is widely respected, again, not only in college, but in the NFL as well. Colorado and what Coach Prime has done truly cannot be overstated. Two seasons ago, before Coach Prime had gotten to Boulder, Colorado was a one-win football team. Coach Prime's first season there, they went 4-8. And you look at it to the casual fan, and again, I'm not calling any of you casual. I'm just saying to the casual fan, they see that 4-8 record and they think, wow, not a great season for Colorado. And sure, yeah, it wasn't great. They weren't 500 or above 500. They didn't make a bowl game or anything like that. But what I was telling folks was, again, you got to consider where Colorado was before Coach Prime had gotten there. A one-win football team. A one-win football team. And they improved their win total by 3 wins. I think that was a success. Coach Prime brought notoriety to Colorado in his first season despite going 4-8. He actually had the Buffs ranked earlier in the season. I'd say that was a successful season. And again, I am a very competitive person. I come from a very competitive family. I understand 4-8 does not cut it. But again, you got to consider where Colorado was before Coach Prime got there. And then again this year, ranked for a fair amount of the season, went 9-4, went to a bowl game. Coach Prime has done great work in Colorado. But now we're getting into the expectation side of things for the Buffaloes. What are our 2025 expectations for Colorado coming up? Their over-under win total at Vegas is 6.5 right now. My main question is, what is life going to be like for Coach Prime without his sons in Shedeur and Silo and without Travis Hunter? I think that's a fair question to ask. They bring in Caden Salter from Liberty, who had a phenomenal 2 years with the Flames. And also, they bring in highly touted quarterback prospect Juju Lewis, who is ranked as a 4-star by some sites and 5-star by others. Juju Lewis, highly coveted. And there's going to be a quarterback competition in the spring for Colorado, but if I had to guess now that, you know, Caden Salter is probably going to be the starter, but the jury's still out on that one. Colorado has made a living off of the transfer portal the last two seasons. This season, it's been a bit of a question mark as they had the 26th ranked transfer portal class. And then again, high school recruiting for Colorado has not been the best either. They had the 37th ranked high school class in 2025. I'm interested to see how things go for Colorado because Shedeur, he had some phenomenal weapons in Travis Hunter, Will Shepard, LeJonte Wester, so many other guys. Very quarterback-centric team. Can Caden Salter be that focus point for Colorado in 2025? We're going to have to see. We are going to have to see on that one. I cannot believe, I am actually ashamed to admit this. I am ashamed to admit this, but we just all watched the Super Bowl take place last weekend. And again, I don't talk NFL on the show. I enjoy watching the NFL, and I love watching the NFL, but college football is always going to be my favorite topic. And one of my favorite players of all time just won the Super Bowl on Sunday, and I didn't bring him up on Wednesday's show. And I cannot believe it. I am ashamed. But don't you worry. We're going to talk about him. And we're going to talk about him right now. Jalen Hurts. If I asked most of you to tell me the Jalen Hurts story, you could probably tell it to me, right? You know, the whole how it went down at Alabama, the second and 26. Or no, that was Tua to Devontae Smith. I'm sorry. But he got benched in that game. Transferred to Oklahoma, got drafted by the Eagles. There was a lot of talk this year that he couldn't throw the ball or at least throw the ball well like some of the other elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Jalen Hurts. I'm just going to go through his story because I've had the pleasure of meeting Jalen Hurts. I've had the pleasure of having a conversation with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is one of my favorite players of all time. One of my favorite football players of all time, college or NFL. They need to make a 30 for 30 about this man because we are watching a documentary unfold right before our eyes with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, he was a four-star recruit out of Channelview, Texas, got signed to Alabama. I remember watching Jalen Hurts' first game. It was against USC. I cannot remember the year, but it was against USC to open the season. And Blake Barnett was set to be the starter at Alabama. Wasn't playing well. Nick Saban turned to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts actually played a pretty good game. And he ended up finishing fifth in the Heisman voting as a true freshman. And then they bring in a guy named Tua Tagovailoa. And I remember speaking to Alabama fans that offseason, and they were, you know, hyping up this kid from Hawaii, saying, you know, he went to the same high school as Marcus Mariota, from the same part of Hawaii as Mariota. But they still had Jalen Hurts there. And, you know, Jalen Hurts played well that season too, ended up going to the national championship game. You know, things weren't going his way against Georgia in that first half. So Nick Saban decides to bench him and puts in Tua Tagovailoa, and they ended up winning the national championship, even though Jalen Hurts wasn't the reason they won the national championship. And then next season rolls around, and there's a lot of debate about who's going to be the starting quarterback for Alabama. Is it going to be Tua? Is it going to be Jalen Hurts? Nick Saban, in classic Nick Saban fashion, doesn't give anything away until the game. They were playing Louisville in Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida. And I'm sure most of you remember that interview that Nick Saban had with Maria Taylor about he was asked who was going to be the starting quarterback. And I'm going to have to play that clip at some point. But that clip will live in infamy. They ended up starting Tua Tagovailoa. He was the starter really the whole season. Played very well. And then he gets hurt in the SEC championship game. They turn to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts comes back against Georgia, helps Alabama win the SEC title in the same building that he was benched in for Tua Tagovailoa in the national championship game. Jalen Hurts helps Alabama win the SEC title. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Do you remember how many people thought he was going to transfer and he stuck it out? A lot of people were telling him to use his red shirt and he decided to burn his red shirt and stick it out. Then Jalen Hurts, next season, decides that, you know, it's time for him to move on. Transfers to Oklahoma, has a great season, actually finishes as, I believe it was Heisman Trophy runner-up, gives himself a legitimate shot to be drafted day two of the NFL draft, ends up being a second-round pick, goes to the Eagles, sits behind Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz goes down, Jalen Hurts comes in, plays very well. Jalen Hurts keeps the starting job. The Eagles trade Carson Wentz. Then Jalen Hurts leads the Eagles to a Super Bowl, probably plays the game of his life. But Patrick Mahomes is on the other sideline, and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts says post-game that they will be back, and he wasn't kidding. The Eagles were back in the Super Bowl 2 years later, and they pound the Chiefs behind a Super Bowl MVP caliber game from Jalen Hurts. Guys, this is stuff you see in a sports documentary. This is something you see in a 30 for 30. Jalen Hurts, a story of resilience, of hard work, of dedication, of not giving a crap about what other people have to say, and just staying focused and trusting. I know this is overused a lot, but trust in the process. And it worked out for him. And I have no doubt that Jalen Hurts is going to be right back in the Super Bowl again at some point. But this just, all of this just goes without saying. Jalen Hurts is one of my favorite players of all time. And I hope he hears this, because I have been thoroughly impressed by Jalen Hurts, and I cannot go another show without talking about him. And I cannot believe I didn't bring it up on the last show, but that is shame on me. But it was only right that we bring him up tonight. All right. I've been quiet long enough. Man, I'm going to need a sip of water before I start this segment. All right. Cam Newton has been going on ESPN and saying some wild things. Wild things. You know, he's now a panelist on First Take on ESPN with Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp. And he was asked, I believe this was last weekend, if he would trade his MVP season for a Super Bowl. And to his... he said no, he wouldn't. He would keep his MVP season, and I'm paraphrasing for him. This is not exact verbatim. But he said that he would keep his MVP because he did his job and basically his teammates didn't. And I heard the clip, and I did not agree whatsoever. You could probably guess why. I'm sure a lot of you didn't agree either. And I moved on. I didn't really put too much stock into it. But then he goes on Travis Hunter's podcast this week and doubles down on it. And again, I'm paraphrasing here. I'm not going to play the clip, but I'm paraphrasing. And he says basically that he walked into a locker room when he got drafted by the Panthers in 2011. He walked into a locker room full of losers. And I can't go another show without addressing this. Cam Newton is off of the walls right now. I don't know what's going on with Cam Newton, but he's somebody needs to take control of what this man is saying. I let the first thing go, but I can't let this. I can't let this second thing go. The only thing that I can say about Cam Newton right now is at least he's honest. Because if a lot of you were asked this question about would you trade your MVP for a Super Bowl, I'm sure the consensus would be yes. Because the Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl, is the highest priority and achievement in football. But Cam Newton thought otherwise. But I will say this. His comments are going to damage his reputation. I'm not even talking about Cam Newton as a player. Cam Newton as a player was fun to watch at Auburn during his time in Carolina. That, I think, one good season he had with the Patriots. Cam Newton was a fun player to watch. But as a panelist on First Take, I get it. The point of the show is to debate and argue. But come on, dude. As a quarterback, you're supposed to be the leader in the locker room. You're supposed to uplift those around you to encourage. Do you think, and I know he's not playing anymore, but do you think guys would want to play around someone who says comments like that, my offensive coordinator, I played college football. My offensive coordinator in college told me in practice, if I threw a receiver, if I threw a ball to a receiver and he dropped it, to if I said anything to the receiver about dropping the ball, I had to do push-ups. Because if a receiver drops the ball, don't you think they already feel bad enough? They know they should have caught it. And receivers don't go up to the quarterback and say, hey, make a better throw this time, man. Like, we know. We know. But that just plays into being a good teammate. Now, I don't know if Cam Newton made these types of comments when he was playing. I sure hope he didn't. But the fact that he's making them now just burns me up. It just makes me sick. Because that's not what football's about. Football's a team sport. Football's not an individual sport like golf or tennis. It takes 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense, 11 guys on special teams doing their job. And Cam Newton was fantastic. He was a fantastic player in college, was a fantastic player in the NFL, but it still takes 11 men doing their job to accomplish something greater than themselves. That's it. That is the story right there. Whew. I feel a little bit better now. But I just wanted to address that real quick because it is getting out of hand. Somebody had to say something. Moving right along, what I wanted to end the show with was the Heisman odds. I just wanted to take an early look at the Heisman odds. And I was kind of surprised by this, but I could also see it happening. I checked Vegas, and their preseason Heisman favorite as it stands right now is actually not who you would think it would be. A lot of you think it would be Arch Manning. I do want to address that real quick. I think Arch is going to be a great football player. I can't wait to watch Arch lead Texas this fall. But can we not crown him too early, please? Can we just let him play some football and understand that he's probably going to make some mistakes? He has not started a full season in college yet. Can we just let him play before we assume that he's going to win the Heisman Trophy this fall? Before we assume that Texas is going to win the national championship? I am a full believer in Texas. I believe they're recruiting right now at an elite level. I believe they are one of the most talented, most well-resourced teams in the country. I believe Arch Manning is going to be a stud, and I can't wait to watch him play. But please, please, can we not crown him too early? A lot of you crown Nico Iamaleava at Tennessee way too early. And when he didn't perform well this season, a lot of you just called him trash and were ready to be done with him. I still believe in Nico. I still believe that Tennessee is going to be very, very, very solid with him at quarterback. But can we just let him play? Can we just let him grow? Understand that he's going to make some mistakes and just accept that they're going to happen and learn and move on? That's all I got to say. But the favorite right now in Vegas is Garrett Nussmeier at plus 850. Arch Manning is right behind him. Actually, yeah. Garrett Nussmeier is the favorite. Arch Manning's right behind him. Drew Aller is in there. Cade Klubnik is in there. Dante Moore, the quarterback at Oregon, is in there. Jeremiah Smith, of course, is in there from Ohio State. Nico Iamaleava at plus 1,600. Julian Sain is in there, who is expected to be the starting quarterback at Ohio State. Carson Beck at Miami, I think that's interesting. Lenore Sellers, South Carolina. Now, we just talked about him in the last segment, Cam Newton. Lenore Sellers is drawing Cam Newton comparisons. So I thought Lenore Sellers, when he was playing his best football, man, South Carolina was a tough team to beat. Really excited to see how he does this year. DJ Lagway, I talked about him on the last show, one of the best deep ball throwers in the country in FBS. last season as a true freshman. Gunnar Stockton at Georgia. I think that's interesting. John Mateer at Oklahoma. He's in there. Marcel Reed at Texas A&M. Ryan Williams at Alabama. Sam Levitt at Arizona State. That's just kind of an early look at some of the favorites in Vegas right now. Pretty interesting stuff. Man, seriously, it never gets old talking college football. It never gets old. There's plenty of stuff to talk about. Don't let anybody fool you that just because it is the off season that there's nothing to talk about. There's always plenty of stuff to talk about, and make sure you stay tuned to the Air Raid with Parker Kelly, because we will keep you updated on everything you need to know throughout the spring and heading into next fall, because college football is just the best, and that's what we do. Again, please, 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 if you haven't already, please follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Parker_Kelly10. And please make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, whether that be Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever. Please subscribe to The Game Nashville, and you can find the Air Raid with Parker Kelly there. I'll have another episode for you about early in the week next week or somewhere in the middle of the week. Please be on the lookout for that. Again, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of stuff to talk about. There always is. And we're looking to get a guest on soon. Not going to tell you who, but we're looking to have our first guest ever on the Air Raid soon. And I'm going to get that worked out. And trust me, you're not going to want to miss that. But again, you have to stay tuned to find out who it is. But I appreciate all of you who have been listening as we, again, get this thing up off the ground and get it rolling. And hope that you continue to listen, because college football, again, just the best sport. So stay tuned, and I will talk to you next week.